Okay, we're in 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 14. 8 through 14 in 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, just if you remember last week, the king of Judah thought that the king of Syria, or the king of Syria, was picking on him, was looking for a fight, because Naaman was a leper. Captain, he was very important, but he was a leper. Verse 1. And then the little maid says, the one that had been captive, hijacked from her home, she said, "There's a prophet. Would to God that my master knew that there was a prophet in Israel. He would clear him. He would clean him of his leprosy." So then they told the king of Syria, and the Syrian went to the king of Judah. They didn't get the message right. The little maid said, "The prophet," which is Elisha, which is God is salvation. That's a picture of Christ there. That's where the cleansing would come from. They got the story wrong. So then the king of Israel is upset. He's rent his clothes, his garments in verse 7, now in verse 8. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him, let Naaman, come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now you remember, he's got money, gold, silver, and apparel. He's got all this stuff, and he's sitting there, or he's on the horse, he's there at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger, would probably be Gehazi, his messenger, unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was angry, was wroth. He went away, and he said, "Behold, I thought that the prophet would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, strike his hands over the place and recover the leper." He's not even using his personal pronoun. He's not saying recover me. You know, I'm still important. Recover the leper. "Are not Abina and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant, this is Naaman's servant, came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then Naaman went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. We'll stop there. Bruce, would you lead us in prayer? So here's this leper, this mighty man, humanly speaking. He's a leper, and that's a picture of us. We think we're something when we're nothing, and we're still sinful. We're still like grasshoppers, and we think we're lions and tigers, or we think we're something. But, you know, the Lord uses this captive little Jewish maid who was taken from her home, because God's ways are not our ways, and we see this all through this lesson. And he uses her words to alert the wife of Naaman, and then the king of Syria, to go to Israel. But they didn't quite do what the little maid said. She said, "Go see this man." And they went to the king. And the king of Israel showed his unbelief, and complaining nature. Oh, he's seeking a quarrel with me in verse 7. So here we come to verse 8. Elisha happens to be in the courtyard or something. He happens to be there and he says, what's the matter? And obviously the king tells him. And this is what he says. Let him, that is the leper, come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And that first phrase, come now, it just arrested me. Come now. That's what we tell sinners. Come, remember in the New Testament, come see a man that told me everything I did. That woman at the well, come see a man. Come see the man. Never a man, it says in the New Testament, spake like this man. Never a man healed as this man. Never a man died like this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if we could just put megaphones on the church. If we could just to valley and hill and dell and all, come now. Come now. Your religion, of all these churches around here, it's not doing anything. It's not doing anything because you're not hearing of the man, Christ Jesus. You're not hearing. And if they do not hear, where there's no vision, the people perish. There's a vision here. I don't know why he's kept this place together. Like, I don't know why we haven't grown a whole lot. I don't know why all these different things. That's really insignificant because when we had, like, Melinda reminded me, and I'm thankful for that. You know, we got two people. That's what we got. Where two or three are gathered together. And what am I supposed to do? And I get discouraged, I get upset, disappointed, blah 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 blah. Doesn't matter. What am I supposed to do? Come now. Come now. Hear the word of God. I still prepare. I don't prepare any less. If there's more people, less people, it doesn't matter to me. I have a calling and I need to abide within that calling. So that's what I'm going to do. So come now. That's the first thing that hit me. Come now. Let him know. Let him come to me. And he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. They may have had prophets in Syria. They may have prophets in Nebuchadnezzar's time. They had sorcerers, magicians, all these things. But that's a whole lot different. It's the difference between the gospel and a false gospel. Oh, may we invite sinners, friends, neighbors, parents, come now and know that there is a prophet, the prophet. Like he says in Deuteronomy, the prophet. The man whom God has chosen, Emmanuel, God with us. So the first thing I see is we unashamedly and unbashfully declare unto you that there is only one who saves, one who quickens, one who calls like this prophet in or of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we declare. He'll know that there's a prophet. He makes a separation between the precious and the vile. He does that. We don't. But we speak of the precious one because he has revealed himself to us. So the first thing I see is we're unashamed. Unbashful about just, oh, tell me what I see that, but that's not the God I know. That's not the Christ I know. You made a decision. Well, you may make unmake that decision. If salvation's in your hands. If Naaman was to be healed, he must go to one man. One man. One truth. One good news teller. And of course, Christ is the good news himself. That there is a prophet in Israel. So we say, well, what, who are you? Who are you to say that I don't know the truth? What do they say? How is your God different than our God? There's a big difference. There's a big difference. You say you have free will. You say you can decide or undecide whether you want to follow Jesus. You can say, you said Jesus dies for everybody. You say he calls everybody. Well, I don't know that in the Scripture. I don't know that Jesus. He doesn't try to do anything. He's sovereign, ruling, reigning Lord. So that's the first thing I see. We unashamedly declare unto you, unto all who will hear, that there's one who has healing, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, verse 9, here we go. Natural man, or I said self-made man. Secondly, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses, his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now, it doesn't say that he had his money with him, but I'm assuming that he had all this with him. He came with it all. Self-made man. This is natural man. Naaman came in all his supposed glory, all his achievements, all of his self-worth, all of his self-importance. Not knowing, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Not knowing that he was but a natural man, born of woman, born a sinner. He didn't know that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, which he'll show forth in his actions. Well, this is foolish, because God requires humility, and we think we can come as we are, high, haughty, and proud. But neither can he know them. He can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. Psalms 39 puts it a little bit more bluntly. I like how it's stated here. Psalms 39 and verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man, every boy, every woman, every girl at their best state is altogether vanity. Well, that's a shotgun blast. That scatters that. That hits everybody. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. And Naaman didn't know it, but God will not be bought with silver, gold, or apparel. God will not be bartered with, coerced, swayed. No, salvation is not in our worth or our merit or our goodness, as if we had any. We think we're so important to warrant God's nod of approval. That's what I'm somebody, and you need to come out to see me. He's standing there at his house. Verse 10. Well, here we go again. God's ways are not our ways. Sometimes even the believer needs to be reminded of this. We need to be continually reminded of this. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto Naaman, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, that you'll be clean. God will not, so to speak, be put in a box. And that's what Naaman, I thought he was going to do this, I thought he was going to do that. I've seen it on TV. I've seen these televangelists. This is how God works. Not necessarily. He uses the truth, the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and we're going to come to him owing not of salvation of ourselves, just recipients. Obviously, we know water cannot redeem or cleanse the sinner. He says, go into Jordan and wash 7 times and you'll come up and clean. Obviously, we know that would be works. But what is he saying? What is this showing us? Simply 3 things. That this is a pure miracle. And no man was involved other than the sinner. Okay, there wasn't anybody helping. Elisha didn't go down and say, take him, hold his nose. He didn't do anything. Man was not involved. This shows that it's a miracle performed by God alone with no human taint upon it. Secondly, I believe it shows that God will not and must be obeyed simply at his word. Elisha said to do this, do it. Believe and repent, you and your whole household. Believest thou that the Lord can do this? Yea, Lord, I believe. Believest. Secondly, God must be and will be obeyed simply from his word. A lot of times when he's behind those clouds, we can't see him. He sees us. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. But when we don't see, if all we have is this, this is good enough. Because it tells of him and describes him. Thirdly and lastly, the flesh, we will always be humbled. There's no pride allowed in the kingdom of grace. Okay? Go and wash. This is a humbling act. Go and wash. So we're not going to come to God. We do come. That song says, come as, you know, just as I am. Yes, but that's not claiming any merits or any worth, or that we're worth saving, or that we deserve salvation. That's what that means. But we come to him, we're going to be like that high priest when he had to go into the Holy of Holies. There was no tear until the Lord rose from the, and then it rent and twang. He had to get down on his knees and crawl underneath there. And that's how we approach God. Okay, verse 11, our sinful nature, or here we go, the sinful normal response to free grace or the gospel. This is the man's normal response. Naaman was wroth, was angry. And I've heard Henry, and I've heard all men, I don't know, all the men that I've ever heard preach say, if you've never been, well, I haven't hated God, I'm not angry, then you probably still do. Because this is our response. This is our response. Naaman was wroth, angry, mad, mean, ripped up, however we want to phrase it. And he went away. Well, I'm thankful God had him. He wasn't going to let him go away because he was one of his chosen in this story. He wasn't going to let him go away, but let's let him walk a little bit on his own. He went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, the prophet, and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Here's our sinful nature, and here's the normal response. But it's good because something's being heard, right? Something's being heard. It bothers me when I preach and I get nothing. Everybody just sits there like a bump on a log. That's disturbing. You know, it's like in Luke, it's like in Revelations, the Laodicean church. Warm, come on. But at least there's reaction here. The first thing is he's mad. He's mad. I'm angry at God. Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Here's what we are, really. I mean, this is what the scripture says we are. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. The carnal mind. Romans 8, verse 7, the carnal mind, that's the natural mind, that's the unbelieving mind, that's the unregenerate mind, is enmity. And that word means war. We're not at war with God. We are war itself against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We get angry at his truth, therefore we're angry at him. Then he says, secondly, he goes away. Well, like I said, not totally. God's catching his fish, or God's going to catch this sinner. And I bless God for his control over us to the most infinite detail. Now, when I first heard it, I got upset. Didn't like it. I have free moral free agency. No, bless God for his total dominion over us, our hearts, our actions, our attitudes. He's sovereign. But I'm not going to listen to this guy. I'm mad and I'm going to go walk away. And then this is then as he's leaving, this is what he says. I thought. There's the problem. I thought. Not what God's word says. Not submitting to the word of God. I thought. Again, our ways and our thoughts regarding God's salvation, regarding the Christ, regarding how God saves sinners is not our ways. It's God's ways. He'll save whom he will, as he will, when he pleases. We have by nature and from birth incorrect, false views of salvation and saving grace. We're born wrong. He says, I thought that he would do this. Basically saying, I know for certain that I have to do something for God or that God must act towards me in a favorable fashion, because that's what I think. But when the scripture says, and you don't have to turn here, Proverbs 14:12, we think our way is right, but at the end thereof are the ways of death. Christ is life, we're death. So I thought pomp and circumstance. What's the theme of most churches in this country today? Pomp and circumstance. I thought this was what it was going to happen. I thought he would put on a great show, a lot of hoopla, a lot of hollering. No, God will save in such a way and such a manner as he will get all the glory. That's it. He will get all the glory and we will not share in it. Okay, verse 12. I thought, didn't know there was really much in here, but there is. So he tells them to go wash. He gets mad, gets angry, puts in his 2 cents. In verse 12, and then he says, are not Abina and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. I didn't look up that word, but we know what rage means. That's what we hit. That's bust by nature. Okay, here's our best. Abina, you know what that means? It means stony. You know what Pharpar means? It means haste. Are rushing in haste. So here, this is our best. A stony heart, and we're always rushing without truth or without thinking. And Proverbs, you don't have to turn there, but 28 verse 20 says about, it's not good to make haste. See that passage in 28. But that's us. Abina, stony, you're not going to get anything there. Pharpar, making haste, no. These will never do. Here's the thing. Just go to the dirty, this is what I read historically about the River Jordan. Go to the dirty, unimpressive Jordan. And that word means to descend. I'm not making this up. I looked these up. To descend. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And the last thing I see is in verse 12 and 13. I'm sorry. 13 and 14. His servant, Naaman's servant, says, just go. And so he just went. And he was cleansed. So I say to you, I say to me, I say to anybody that can hear this, simply obey. Now I know it's the grace of God that causes us to do so. But the charge still goes out. The word still go out. You repent or perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply obey. The gospel message is the simplicity in Christ. It tells of one God, the God-man. One way, Christ is the door. One meal, Christ our bread. One baptism, to be buried with Christ. One Lord, the sovereign King who sits upon his throne. One. It's not that complicated. But we have made it complicated by partaking in Adam's sin. Well, I wasn't there. Well, I heard Henry say, if you don't own up what happened in the garden, how are you going to own up what happened at Calvary? One. Like Spurgeon got that one string guitar, just plucking it all the time. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you or I shall be saved. Come down, wash, and rise up, clean, every whit. That's still a charge. It's to do what the prophet said to do. And I know he'll give you the ability. He has never turned away the cry for mercy and the cry to be clean. To God be the glory. Nathan, would you close us?